Sorry.
Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
Hi, this is Sheila.
Hi, this is Monica.
This is Leanne.
News, talk, and laughs.
We tackle the world
one cup of coffee at a time.
You're listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go. Thanks for being with us today. Leanne, Liz, Sheila, and Monica here, along with Kia. Just in case we need a sixth sister. She's our backup here. Hey, what a show today, first of all.
What a show.
So much animal news. I mean, who could believe
it? How does that happen on some days that it just seems like all of the headlines are animal related?
Even the number one movie in the country is animal related, Liz. Beverly Hills Chihuahua, okay?
Leon, every time I see a Chihuahua now, a real one, out on the street, it reminds me, I need to go see that movie.
Yeah, it's just, well, you're going to see it on a plane, so I wouldn't rush out, but and I would take a small child, but again, I just want to say, as I said on my blog at Chaos Chronicles, it should be called Beverly Hills German Shepherd, because...
It stars a German Shepherd.
The real star of the movie is a German Shepherd.
Leon, are you sure that's not just because you are partial to German Shepherds? You are the owner of a German Shepherd, so you pay more attention to German Shepherds?
If you agree with me, I just want you to email us at satellitesisters.com. Liz, all that's true. I mean, I do pay a lot of attention to German Shepherds, but I think people will say the most interesting character in this movie is the German Shepherd, Delgado.
He has the most character development?
Yes, he does. Okay. He has the longest
full arc.
And can I just say, I cried at the end of the movie when Delgado gets his redemption. I cried. I did not feel the same way about the Chihuahua.
The Beverly Hills Chihuahua, you know, I mean, Beverly Hills German Shepherd just doesn't have the cuteness factor.
We understand, Liz. Yeah. German Shepherd.
It's a marketing thing.
We understand. We understand that.
I am more afraid of Chihuahuas than I am of German Shepherds, Leanne.
Well, you should be.
Sheila, I have a whole list of animals that you should really be afraid of, so you will love this.
Oh, really?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I have a whole list of worries that you can start worrying about.
I can add on to my list of things I'm afraid of? Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Sheila, you have a whole list of horrible foods that we should be worrying
about.
Oh,
that's right, Leanne. I mean, 30...
Do you have that list?
Yes.
Because the look on your face was like, oh, that's today?
No
follow-up questions.
No, they're the worst. Whoa.
Moose in the headlights.
I do have that list, Leanne.
Okay.
The worst, quote-unquote, healthy foods. You'd be surprised. I eat healthy foods all day long, but I found out they're full of sugar and full of fat.
Mmm.
That's good.
Yummy. Okay.
And I mean, not good.
Well, then there's a cozy couch, too, because that's a lot of worry. We've got dangerous animals, dangerous food. We're going to need to relax at the end of the show.
Well, there's autumn candle therapy, Leanne, help you feel less stressed and more energized.
Okay.
And who doesn't need that?
We all need it.
We all need that.
Well, we all need it for what we have coming up.
Right. Well, especially our family right now needs it. We're going to start by giving you installment one. It's a Dolan family saga we're calling Edna and Jim's Excellent Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
We're all in on this, and many of you have experienced this in your own families. So please, play along at home. And we will be posting on the blog. We really need your advice and your comments. Here's the deal. Our parents are both 81 years old, Edna and Jim Dolan. They live in Portland, Oregon. And this spring, they said to their children, they have 8 children, there are 5 girls and 3 boys. They said to us they thought it was time to move out of the house that they lived in, that it was too much to handle. They wanted to downsize. But then there's been some disagreement about, well, where should they go and what should they do? And not just disagreement between the 8 kids. I mean, we just all want to do what they want to do. But they haven't necessarily nailed down their preferences between themselves. But anyway, the reason we bring up Edna and Jim's Excellent Adventure today is because on Friday, Monica, you are loading Edna and Jim into a minivan and bringing them to California.
We have one rule. We're not strapping anything or anyone on the top of the minivan. You know, we are getting pretty psyched for our road trip. It's a 2-day trip. We're going to drive from Portland to Los Angeles. Break it up. I know I just have not done this trip in a very long time, and I've certainly never spent 2 days trapped in a minivan. Not trapped, I mean, 2 days in a minivan with my parents. We don't own a minivan, but we decided we would rent one because, Leanne, don't they have those captain's chairs?
Yes, they do. They're very comfortable for long road trips. We have a minivan specifically for long road trips. You're going to enjoy them because it is 900 miles. It's a long drive,
done it. But we're getting excited. Mom has already planned the whole snack menu.
Good.
And there's going to be some soft-sided coolers. I am in charge of what I think is the entertainment because I don't think I can tell stories or talk to them for, 10 hours one day and like 8 hours the next day. So you know what I did? I burned a lot of Satellite Sisters shows onto CDs to take with me. Okay,
I thought you were going to say soft jazz or something.
I'm planning on some soft jazz. What I don't want to do is we cannot be switching radio stations every 20 minutes.
No.
And that's the way I drive. That is not relaxing for anyone.
Do you have a DVD player in the back seat?
Well,
for Mom?
I told Mom if she was a good girl, maybe we could upgrade to the minivans with the little flip down screen and she could watch, some
HGTV?
Cartoons. Some cartoons back there. Yes. Or how about Princess Diaries 2? 1 and 2. That'll be good for a while. And then we also, again, no strapping anything to the top. We're very excited. Now, Mom, you'll love this. She, a couple of weeks ago, suggested we go down to AAA. They belong to AAA, which is excellent because we got a discount on the car rental. She suggested we go down to the AAA office in Portland. She likes to do everything in person. She's not an over-the-phone, she's certainly not an over-the-internet type gal. She said, let's go down there and let's get the map for how to get to California. I said, Mom.
Like you would need directions.
It's I-5. It's just like you just get on I-5 and you go south. So we're
900
hoping,
miles.
I know.
And then take a right.
And then you get off. And then you're there.
You take a right because we have to get to the coast.
Right.
Because Santa Monica's at the beach. So I said, I don't think we need to, go down to AAA. But I like the fact that she wants to get involved. We've already decided I'm renting the minivan the night before. Mm-hmm. We're doing all the packing tomorrow night. We're going to get everything all set to go, and then we're going to go out to dinner to celebrate the packing of the minivan, and then we're getting on the road first thing Friday morning because I do better at like 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. I know you might find that hard to believe, but I do better behind the wheel. No sharing of the driving.
Mm-hmm. You're the driver.
We've established that. I'm the driver. I've driven cross country by myself in years past, several times, all by myself, 4 or 5 days on the road. So I don't mind doing the driving. I am going to insist there's some shuffling of parents between the front and the back seat. Change it up a little bit every couple of hours. Leanne, we want to stop outside Reading to see that beautiful suspension bridge.
Oh, you should. It's great. It's really beautiful the river.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's going to be one of our planned rest stops. And then we're booked into Sacramento, so it's like come hell or high water that first night. I hope it's not high water.
I know. Mom keeps saying California or bust. I'm like, Mom, could you not say the or bust part?
Yeah.
How about California, here we come?
Right. We're going to be singing that all the way down I-5, but we are booked into Sacramento. We're excited. I mean, they're excited too. And the good thing is, we have spent the past couple of weeks, maybe months, just packing up and organizing their house. So now, it's like those HGTV shows designed to sell. I mean, everything is just that it's packed, it's organized, they've given things away. I've been the recipient of, I got a set of formal dishes, so come on over for I don't know what I'm going to be serving on the formal china. But they are very organized with their possessions, and I think that's a good place to be for them.
So here's what we know so far. That's, we don't really have a permanent plan, which is why we're putting this out to you. Like, how did you work through?
Would you like to house our parents?
What has worked for you and your family? What hasn't worked? What we decided to do with our parents, because they wanted to try out living in California.
Right, because it's a very different experience than Oregon.
Right. They're kind of not sure if they want to stay in Oregon or move to California, where 4 out of their 8 kids are. Obviously, Monica's in Portland, but it's a weather thing. So we rented them a little place in Santa Monica, very close to where Sheila lives and very close to where I live. And they're just going to come down.
Closer to me.
Yeah. they're just going to come down through the holidays. It's like a little tester time in Santa Monica, and we'll see if they like that. But it's, you know, it's hard to know. There's some comedy here because we are not a family of car trips. So the fact that this whole adventure starts with a car trip, we never really drove anywhere together when we were kids just because there were 10 of us. And it just doesn't work that well in a car.
No.
There's no, it just, there were no minivans in those days.
Right.
So, so we have that. There's the temporary California tryout. And we'll see how that works out and the road trip and all of that. But then another part of the subplot here is the home they've been living in went on the market last week.
Right.
So you can understand, again, it's like if you were going to pick a week to put a house on the market, maybe last week would not have been the ideal week. Our parents have been living in a house in Portland that I actually own. I bought it 20 years ago when Monica and I first moved to Portland. So it's a nice, cozy little house, but it was more than they really want to manage anymore. So that's now on the market. So there's a whole other drama, like, okay, we probably could have picked a bigger week, a better week if we had done this, like, a year ago.
And we could use your help with that if you need a house. Yes, this has got a beautiful house.
It's a delightful home in the West Hills of Portland, Oregon. So that's where we are with Edna and Jim's excellent adventure. As we say, the reason we're putting it out there is because there are many variables here.
Right.
There's so many people going through this with your own parents. How have you decided what's best for them? How have they articulated for you what they want? One of the challenges I think we have with mom and dad is they just don't really want to tell us exactly what to do. Don't you kind of get that feeling?
Like, well, I think that they don't have strong feelings about either staying in Portland. They haven't said we definitely want to do that, or they don't have strong feelings about living in California. They want to try it out. So they are being extremely flexible.
Right. And we want to honor their needs and wants, but we also can see that there's certain limitations now that we have to take into the decision-making process. I mean, we are picking up a lot of the decision-making now.
Right, right, which is a big change for families when that starts to happen.
It's huge. It's really, really big. And I haven't spent a lot of time with mom and dad, you know, in my adult life.
Do you want to fly up to Portland tonight and get in the back of that minivan with us?
No, because I'm signed on once they get here, you know, to really, I've been sort of, you know, gathering my strength and researching and like reading as much material as I can about having, you know, them around. There was a really great article in the New York Times, for instance, this week about, you know, sort of this whole idea of elder speak, and you have to watch the way that you speak to older adults, whether they be your parents or anyone, because people know, I mean, at that age, you know that this is, the downward slope, and they do not, psychologists say, that you should really honor them with the way you'd speak to anybody and not call them miss or dear or dearie and sort of, you know, patronize them, you know, with words like sweetie. So I found that fascinating.
I've never heard you call mom sweetie.
No. We don't talk like that to each other. But I want to be protective of them in Santa Monica while they're here because, you know, it's that sort of thing.
And one last thing I just want to mention. Here's a step we took as the kids in the family, just because the communication between us is going to be so key. I mean, luckily, we host a talk show together. So the five of us talk all the time. And we also separately talk to our brothers all the time. But we've gotten into a habit over the past 6 months or so, since we knew the wheels were in motion for this, we have these family conference calls where all 8 of the kids just get on together every couple of weeks, and we talk about what we know, what we've been thinking, what mom or dad might have said to one of us that they didn't say to another one. So that communication, so far, so good.
Yes.
We just got to keep that up.
Yes.
And we're working on it.
And we have a moderator.
Julie acts as the moderator, as she often does. And
Then
we've also enlisted a geriatric care manager.
Right.
And that's something we'll probably explain a little bit more about in later shows. But that is a layperson, if you will. It's an outside expert who, this is what they do. They help families manage all the transitions that older Americans go through. And that can be everything from legal help to medical help to transitioning them to a nursing home, to dealing with communication problems within the family. It can be everything from paperwork to counseling. Mm-hmm. And so we have engaged a geriatric care manager, and she's even come on the conference calls with us to talk to all the kids at the same time. And that's been that's new for us. We don't we're used to having guests on the show, but not on our personal conference calls.
She doesn't have theme music, but she's very instructive.
No, we're gonna get her. I'm gonna get her some now.
You'll hear more about this from us, but if you have any advice, whatever you've been through, we would love to hear about it. So go to the blog and share your thoughts, or just send us a private email. You can do that at satellitesisters.com.
And Monica, you're going to post some links at the blog that we've already used for helpful information, right?
I am, Leanne. One about geriatric care managers, and one about the New York Times. They're blogging about, you know, caring for your elderly parents, and they've been doing a good job with that all early fall. So we're going to post links to that, and that'll be up on Sister Spot today.
All right, great. All right, well, good luck with the drive.
See you when you get here.
Any suggestions for a great audiobook, email me at satellitesisters.com. The clock is ticking. We're getting in the car in 2 days.
My kids like the Chronicles of Narnia. You might want to try it. All right, we're the Satellite Sisters. Stay with us. We're switching gears to animals in the news. Stay with us. I like this song. We're the Satellite Sisters, Leanne, Sheila, Monica, Liz here today. All right, Monica, some breaking animal news.
Hamsters kill, Leanne. Yeah.
You are kidding.
You know, I just wanted to say that because I know how some of the sisters feel about hamsters. No, I read this kind of alarming headline about the American Academy of Pediatrics. They came out with a report warning parents of some of the health risks associated with pets. I mean, we all know pet turtles can give you salmonella. Mm. Remember when we had those pet turtles? Mm-hmm. What was mom thinking in our
Well, we didn't know
that?
Back then. We did not know about any of the risks.
We didn't know. But yet it's
Sheila
not just...
always suspected that.
Yes. I never wanted to take care of the pets.
No,
ever.
You never touched any of the pets
never.
We had, Sheila. That's probably why you've lived to this.
To be
this...
so healthy?
Just lived. Anyways, the warning said it's specifically for children under 5 who have developing immune systems. So anyways, they were kind of serious, but I was glad to see they had a list of 8 pets that pose major health threats to kids.
Yeah.
And of course, I had to laugh a little bit about it because, you know, a hedgehog, a monkey, and an African Gambian rat. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Those kind of pets should not be around 5-year-olds and toddlers. I mean, a hedgehog?
Oh, my daughter Ruth wanted a monkey so badly when she was younger.
Really?
Yes, I had to.
Can you have a monkey in an apartment in New York?
She just wanted like a baby, like to, you know. So we bought her a stuffed orangutan, and it had like those arms of the Velcro in the back, and she carried it around all day like a little baby.
Okay.
No.
Well, monkeys are pretty dangerous. I mean, they can spread like...
they're cute.
They're dangerous. They can spread herpes B virus, but an
I already
African
got that.
Gambian
I mean,
rat,
I get cold sores every 2 weeks.
You don't have herpes B virus, Sheila. That's like... that causes meningitis.
Oh, okay.
And
I don't
stuff.
Have that one.
No,
all
you
right.
don't.
But I think she's coming down with it now that you mentioned it.
All right.
You know, but the other things on the list were, of course, hamsters.
Oh,
you know,
never liked those little fur balls.
I know. They're rodents. Our cousins had them.
They're cute,
Remember when they would get loose in the Morningstar's house? They had like 4 hamsters. And the hamsters were loose every time we spent the night there.
I know. It was scary.
Oh, they were like burrowing in the closet. So anyways, just, you know, check out this list. They also say the baby chickens aren't that great for kids. Ferrets. They said big cats, raccoons, and other wild animals. I'm sorry, but
right,
that's common
sense.
Big cats
like leopards?
Yes. Well, Liz, more people are getting exotic pets. Mm-hmm. You know, they're available, like iguanas, reptiles,
Ooh.
Snakes. But, you know, it's not to say fish are not exactly safe. They can make you sick.
Really?
And, yeah, they can make you sick. They can have mycobacterial infections.
Liz, you know we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
Because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leanne, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting FrameBridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah. Any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the FrameBridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift-giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and FrameBridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but FrameBridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit FrameBridge.com or see a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's FrameBridge.com. Thanks, FrameBridge. Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and
with your
butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, yeah. I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. ButcherBox gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your ButcherBox account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your ButcherBox on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox.
What they're doing in the water, everything.
I know, but the kids aren't swimming in the water. I mean, you don't pet
a fish. Infections? Yeah, but you might put your hands in there if you dropped a toy in there and you were under 5 and you wanted to fish the toy out.
Leanne. By that standard, almost anything in the home is dangerous.
Yes, you're right.
Toilets, just take them out of the house. Dishwashers, take it out.
I do think it's solid advice to avoid the hedgehogs, monkeys, and African Gambian rats at home.
Oh, my youngest son, Colin, has wanted a hamster so much. Is 5 the age limit, or is it just, can I tell him, like, sorry, you're under 18, you can't have a hamster?
Well, no, according to this American Academy of Pediatrics, he might see the article, Leon.
Yes.
I doubt it, unless he reads pediatrics, but Colin is very book smart. He might enjoy pediatrics, but they say it's mainly for kids under 5.
Okay. Because, you know, the little hamsters are kind of cute.
No,
they're
too rat-like for me.
Yeah, they're dirty.
All right. Well, you know, one of the places I've always wanted to go, it's been on my list for a while, is the Galapagos Islands.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I feel strongly about the turtle. I know, you know, I love sea turtles. Mm-hmm. I've off, I've
I've loved them since I was like 18.
She's crying.
No, I'm not crying.
I'm only kidding.
I've loved them since I lived on a barrier island when our parents lived in Florida, and it was a sea turtle mating ground, mm-hmm. and they would come, the female turtles would come. It's a nesting ground. And so I had the chance over the course of the summers that I lifeguarded there on the beach to see all the sea turtles born. It was really a magnificent sight.
So you mm-hmm. did have some good childhood memories.
I did. That was it. Yeah, that was, well, there's one. Okay, so along with all the turtles, there's a lot of fantastic things on the Galapagos Islands.
Yes.
And, you know, I see those things cruise the Galapagos Islands. Oh, that looks great. Yeah, doesn't it? Yeah. It's exotic animals. You think, how great to have the kids there. No, now they're saying the U.S. or the World Heritage Sites are saying tourists are killing all the animals on the Galapagos Islands.
No.
They're
what?
Ruining the pristine environment there. And now they have like 180. They have 180,000 tourists, too many, on the Galapagos Islands now. They're getting 300,000 tourists a year there. Oh. And they're saying, like, max, they should really only be handling about 100,000.
So you can't go.
Well, now mm-hmm. I could go, Liz, but now I'd feel bad about
you'd
going.
Feel terrible. You'd feel like so it was bad for the turtles.
They've ruined it for me. I'll never go now.
Lian.
So I don't care how much they increase the tourist fare, because that's what they were thinking of doing. Like, uh-huh. okay, well, we make a lot of money from the tourists. So they thought, well, if we lessen the number of tourists, we can just triple the fare.
Uh-huh.
So it costs $300 to get your pass to go on the Galapagos Islands for the day. Still, they've ruined it for me permanently. So that's
darn,
it.
Darn.
Gosh darn it.
All well, right. you but care
not,
about them so much.
And you're not
so
going
much.
To the North Pole
And
either,
I'm not
right?
going because of the polar bears. I can't do that.
Can't
I care too
them.
Much. I care too much. I care too much. So, and then believe it or not, after that turtle story, I saw another turtle story in the news this week. And this one, this is just sad. Okay, just try to picture this. Scientists are trying to save one of the world's most endangered species of freshwater turtles. Okay, this is the Yangtze giant soft shell turtle. Okay. Oh. You know how many Yangtze giant soft shell turtles there are in the world?
A couple of dozen.
Very few.
There's one female.
Oh, okay? No, I'm tearing up.
One. There's one female.
No.
You're going to love this. Okay. And there's one male.
Oh,
and
oh my God. That's so romantic.
China. It's going to turn for you though, Sheila. It's going to turn less than romantic. So when you hear that the one female has been in a Chinese zoo but unknown for 50 years.
What do you mean unknown? They
didn't
know
she was
there? They didn't
know she was there. They thought that the turtle, they thought there were no females in the world and they didn't know what they were going to do. They had lost her at this Chinese zoo.
Wow.
And she just emerged now. They've discovered her, I guess, under a rock or something. She's been there for 50 years, okay?
Oh, my God.
Is that old for a turtle? That's probably not too old.
Well, she's 80.
Oh.
Okay, so here's the problem. The 80-year-old female turtle now has to have sex with the 100-year-old male turtle.
Whoa!
Oh, that's not a pretty picture,
no,
is it?
No, it's not.
When the time is right.
I mean, so they have them in the side-by-side bathtubs?
Cialis.
Oh, man.
Well, here's the rub with that, Sheila. First of all...
They're wrinkled to begin with.
I know. They're not looking good. They're leathery skin. You've heard of the leathery skin.
Oh, man.
These are soft-shelled turtles, so... Ooh.
They are still not looking good. Okay, first of all, she's 800 miles away from this guy. So they have to load up Bessie, the 80-year-old Yangtze giant soft-shelled turtle, and take her to the new zoo. Take her to the other zoo.
Right, I was going to say, they walk really slowly.
That's right. Okay, but they're a little worried. This is like a bad date waiting to happen because, first of all, the males can be very territorial and they can attack other unfamiliar turtles. Okay, and second, mm-hmm. neither turtle has seen a member of the opposite sex for decades.
Okay.
I sometimes feel that way.
It has been decades.
Oh my god, that could anything could happen.
I know.
I mean, they could just be repelled or they could just go the opposite.
Right.
And they, go nuts.
Sex on fire.
They don't know what's going to happen to this turtle. So they manage, they get the 80-year-old female, they decide, okay, we'll move her to the other zoo. And there seems to be some mutual attraction.
Oh, nice.
Seems that they're very happy together. And so they actually mate. And the female is able to produce 100 eggs. But what? Guess what?
Oh, that's not
fair.
Oh,
no, what?
Guess what? Because they didn't know she was alive in the Chinese zoo. Instead of feeding her an excellent diet of fish and crayfish, they have been feeding her She's been like scavenging raw beef and pork. Okay.
And that's not good for
it's
a turtle?
It's not good for the eggs.
Oh, no.
So none of the eggs are going to hatch. They don't think the eggs are going to hatch. So now
what? Are they going to load her up now on some good veggies and have them do it again?
They should. Yeah, they do. They're going to give her.
Light the candles. And...
That's exactly it. Now they do have them, Liz. It's ironic you mentioned the side-by-side bathtubs because now they have them in side-by-side ponds.
They do.
Up to 48 hours.
Yeah. Or 48 years if you're a giant turtle. If you're a giant turtle, that can last 48 years. And they have them in the zoo, okay? They've side-by-side ponds. They're really warming up to each other. They're improving her diet. And then they're going to try again in the spring.
Love it.
That's when the two old turtles
have
will
they
try
named,
once
have they
again.
Named them?
No, she'll.
Oh, okay. Well,
I mean, maybe they have. But
maybe we could come up with names for them. I mean, let's follow this story.
Stop it.
No.
No.
I knew that's where that was going to end up.
I knew that.
No follow-up question.
All right. I'm sorry.
Anyway, I'm rooting for those two old turtles.
Yeah. That's okay. Well, there's hope then.
Yes.
Hope is still alive for these two.
That poor turtle eating raw meat and pork.
Yeah, but the fact that she could even do it and then produce eggs is a miracle.
It is at 80.
Yeah.
I know. It's incredible. All right. Wow. Coming up, what do we have coming up?
Food
news. Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking of raw beef and pork, we're going to move from turtles to unhealthy food. Stay with us. We're the Satellite Sisters. And then later on, the Cozy Couch.
Four in the morning, the sidewalk's asleep. Dogs on the porch and spiders on the wrecked by night, sailing through days. Nobody knows they're slipping away.
We're the Satellite Sisters. We're back. Hey, okay, now it's time to hear food news. Now that we're caught up on turtle sex, see if you can top that, Sheila.
Oh, well, I have a few food stories for you here now. I read this week, I did not know there was a parent company that is the parent of KFC, Taco Bell, Pizza Hut, Long John Silver, and A&W. You know what the name of the company is? Yum Brands. Yum Brands. That's right. Now, basically what they've done is they've... What?
Why are you laughing, Mom?
That was a bad intro. I know.
I'm just like business news from Sheila. It's great.
Wow.
Yum Brands. Yeah, it's like one of the biggest food companies in the world, but that's okay.
All right. Well, they've stalled on providing the calorie data for one of their... What?
Did you make up that word yourself? Stalled?
No, I just...
I know, that's out of the story.
On the calorie data for KFC, they've been stalling on that.
This could be very damaging to the Yum brand.
Right. So basically, the story is... The company is going to phase in the calorie count onto menu boards starting in January 1. So... 2011, that's great. That is a long way off.
Yes, it is.
I mean, what's the point of this article? Just to tell us it's like five...
It's a Yum Brand press release, obviously, Sheila.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
So I thought you were going to tell us what the calorie count was.
No, I thought we could just try to guess, you know, in terms of an individual serving of chicken.
Just try to guess, but you don't have... Okay. All right, this sounds fun.
I mean, I don't know. We're not getting the facts till 2011.
Okay, I guess then 700 calories and 40 grams of fat. That's my guess.
Okay, Liz.
For what?
A piece of chicken from KFC. Or throw in a little mashed potato.
Oh, God. All right, are we okay?
Yeah.
throw in some mashed potatoes?
And a little biscuit.
So you said mashed potatoes and a... The radio went crazy.
I mean, you know what I'm saying. I mean,
I don't know what you're saying.
Well, what I'm saying is that this
it's
must
probably
be
a lot of calories.
So many calories. They're waiting until 2011 to break that. I mean, what are you going to do?
I think we all literally have to guess that. If we're not going to know the answer for 2 years.
All right, let's go to the next story.
Good idea.
All right, I was reading on Yahoo Health the worst healthy foods, healthy in quotes.
Are there actual lists, or is that going to come out in 11 too?
So Sheila's going to phase it in. to the story.
I'm stalling the facts until a half an hour from now after I've read the article. No, it's the type of article where it says, instead of this, pick this. Mm-hmm. All right? Mm-hmm. So, for instance, let's start.
Oh, this is going to be fun,
this is much more
too.
Fun.
Instead of a granola bar, which is 200 calories, by the by, and 15 grams of sugar, they're suggesting that we eat an ounce of cheddar cheese with Triscuits, which is only 150 calories and 5 grams of sugar. But you know that's bogus because you could eat like 10 Triscuits.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And a pound
right.
of cheese. Yeah. I mean, me, that's true.
All right, we are dispelling this article. I like it.
There's no such thing as 1 ounce of cheese.
All right, instead of a yogurt with fruit on the bottom, which is 100 calories and 15 grams of sugar, try plain yogurt with fruit mixed in.
Ew.
Do you know you're going to throw it?
I love that.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding.
Skin.
I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going, like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo.
Yes.
You can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz. Your youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's, okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at PROS.com/ sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Pros.com/sisters. Thanks, pros.
You know what you're going to do? Crumple up some granola and put it on top.
Yes, you will. To add make more it taste sugar. Good.
No, but this was the mind blower of the article. This is the real...
Oh, what? This is getting exciting.
All right. Guess how many calories. No.
Oh, no. Please.
No, a bagel. Yum. A bagel with cream cheese is unbelievably fattening. It's 700 calories.
Really?
That's why it tastes
and
so good.
40 yeah. grams of fat, and 13 of those grams are saturated.
Yum.
Look what you can have instead of that. A cheese omelet is only 425 calories.
Well, that's a pretty good trade-off,
and
Sheila.
And 18 grams of fat. I think that's the key to the article right there, baby.
That the cheese
is
omelet.
What they needed to lead with. Not the Triscuit stuff. You know what I mean? So
I would rather have half a bagel with cream cheese. That's how
cheese
I
omelet.
Cut my bagel calories.
It's they're saying bagel is one of the worst things for you. Or a bagel, as the case may be. Not bagel. They. I don't know.
They.
Right. Okay, I have no ending to this segment.
All right, I'm moving on then.
No I'm, end in sight. Please, let's phase in another story.
I had another food-related thing I could bring up. This was a funny story in last week's New York Times. The headline was, Old Gender Roles with Your Dinner? And that's roles like R-O-L-E-S, not
oh,
R-O-L.
Get it. Okay.
Okay. Guess how many?
There will be no guessing here.
There are.
No, it's a whole story about high-end restaurants in New York and the way they treat women versus the way they treat men, and also what women look for in a restaurant versus what men look for. And it's written, Sheila, by your favorite, Frank Bruni.
Oh,
he is the restaurant critic. Mm-hmm. And you have taken him to task occasionally in the past. But he also,
I wish he's taken me to dinner, but...
Okay, well,
some food humor.
Some repartee you got going over there. Witty repartee. You should have tried that in the first two stories.
Anyway, here's a couple of insights from Frank Bruni. He said, because everybody knows him as a restaurant critic, so men and women are always asking him for recommendations. Where should I go, Frank? And he said that men rarely ask about lighting. Women frequently do. They just want a reassurance at a restaurant.
I do.
I do too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought I was alone with that.
Nope.
But no, all around the home. Leanne, you do?
Yep.
Sheila?
I don't care. Either way is fine.
Yeah. I ask about lighting. I'm more likely to ask about music, though, because I've been to plenty of places where the music is just blasting. So I'll ask the server, hey, you know what? Could you turn it down a little bit?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they love to do that.
Frank Bruni says, women ask him if a menu has leaner, healthier options. Men just want to know where can they get a decent steak.
Yeah.
You know, I think we kind of knew that. Then he talked to Mario Batali, who you know from the Food Network.
Sure.
And he owns a bunch of fancy restaurants in New York, including Babbo and Otto. And Mario Batali says, women are looking for someplace comfortable. Men are looking for a place to show off. So he actually designs restaurants with men or women in mind with the actual physical design of the space.
Oh, okay.
Because men like to be on display a little bit more. They like, obviously, clubbier colors and all of that. Women care a lot about the level of the air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
That if you have a lot of women in your restaurant, you have to keep the air conditioning down low because they're wearing less clothing than men are. I thought that was interesting. A man... It's really important to a man, according to Mario Batali, to be greeted rapturously and treated like an insider.
It's their ego. Yeah.
Yeah. They want to look like a big shot.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr.
Sheila.
Whereas a woman.
It's true, though. I
how many calories in the pasta appetizer at Batali's restaurant?
Let's guess.
A woman, her number one turn off in a restaurant. Well, okay, let's guess.
Oh.
What would be the number one turnoff in a restaurant, Sheila?
A really sexy hostess.
A turnoff? Turnoff.
Yeah, a turnoff.
A sexy hostess is a turnoff?
Yeah, it's a threat. It's a threat to my femininity.
Okay, Leanne, how about you?
Well, I would say bright lighting. I feel like we've already covered that, though. But I'm going to stick with bright lighting.
All right. Leanne's shutting down this entire segment.
No, I think it has something to do with the bill or something to do with the fact that if the sommelier comes, he addresses the man of the table, when she may be the head of the party.
That's a factor, but no, number one with women is the restrooms. If the restrooms are cramped, ugly, and messy,
that's obvious.
That's it. They're never coming back. Men apparently don't care about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're happy to be cramped into the restroom. All right, but here's the one thing that I thought was really helped me understand the whole myth. That why do women get treated less well at restaurants than men?
Right.
That a table of women will be treated less well than a table of men. I wasn't ever sure that that was true. But according to the waiters and experts quoted in this story, it is true, but not for the reasons you think. It's not necessarily, like the old wives' tale has always been that women don't tip as well.
Right, so why bother?
Yeah, and that's a factor. But it's not just that women, it's not that women are cheap. It's that the waiters know that men are just going to eat more food and drink more alcohol, and so their checks are going to be bigger, and so they would rather have men at their tables than women because they're just going to chow down a lot more. It's a bigger check.
Right.
Okay, that I would believe.
And they also said that the problem with women is that we talk to each other, that men just eat and leave. But women, they eat and they stick around.
They can't turn over the table.
Exactly.
They've ordered the one cookie plate
split
between eight of them, and then they stay for
half an hour to divide up the bill.
Yeah, yeah. So the waiter that they're quoting here is the guy that just wrote that bestseller Waiter Rant.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
He's been observing patron behavior in New York restaurants for a long time. He says on a Saturday night, you get these two ladies. They walk in and say, "We haven't seen each other in ages. We just want to talk." And talk and talk. So, of course, if you're a waiter, this is the last thing in the world that you want to hear. And so they will occupy a table for 4 hours.
Right.
Where the men, it's like 90 minutes. They're in, they're out. They eat their steak. They drink their scotch and they go. And that women are just more verbal. And that it's just much more common that sooner or later they have to come back and say, "Excuse me, ladies, we need the table." So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Very interesting.
You know, again, it's common sense. Once you think about it, you know, it's... We know that's true. That we're
having more fun eating out with our friends.
Well, that's why we're going out, is to catch up with our friends. It's not so much about the showing off or the steak
food.
Or anything.
Right.
It's not so much about the food.
Right.
It's about the camaraderie, the conviviality. Anyway, so
we had an experience. My group of friends. We had an experience where we had to be out. It was like 2 hours. We had plenty of time, but the waitress, I think maybe she thought we wanted to like chat all night, but people had to like go pick up their kids at water polo practice at 9 o'clock. So it took forever to order. And then we were like, "Hello, we got to get going."
Oh.
And she's like, "Okay, what's for dessert?" We're like, "The bill, because you took so long." And she was shocked. We were like, you know.
So she made the assumption that you were in for the night.
To be there. But now I know
why
I have some. So next time in that circumstance, I would say, "Hey, we have to be out by 9.
Right.
I mean, you think when you get there at 7, you have plenty of time. But it was very slow service. And I think she thought she was doing us a favor.
Yes.
And we were like, "We got to go."
So they're making assumptions by gender, which are not always correct.
There you go. All right, we're the Satellite Sisters. Stay with us. More coming up, including Cozy Couch, because Sheila has done a lot of hard work today.
Ooh.
So she's going to relax.
I need to relax.
Really too late to call, so we wait for you.
Welcome to On the Cozy Couch with Sheila. Oh, I hope, you know, you just take some time right now with me and with us to breathe, reach, and snack. That's what we do here. So let's take a deep breath in, reach, and snack. Oh, I feel so good. You know, Woman's World just came through again this week. On the cover is her name is spelled Sonja. Sonja. I think it might be Sonia with a J, but Sonja lost 20 pounds. That's right.
That's super.
Better than an Atkins diet she was on. And so that is the cover model. Pink and very perky. Surprising nightcap that can help you sleep great.
Mm. Is it the carrot cake?
No.
That would help me sleep.
No, but the carrot cake has hidden health-boosting ingredients. So just eat all you want of that.
Is that phytonutrient?
Guess the calorie count.
And and also the perfume that makes women look slimmer. Can you believe
no
that?
No way!
Yeah.
Oh, I want some of that.
Yeah, there's some florals in there that work on some, you know, brain, just a sort of brain photofinals. Photofacials.
Is serotonin going to be in that story?
Pharmaceuticals. I don't know. All right. Woo, I can't even focus for the cozy couch. You know that's bad. All right. Here we go. We're going to start with smart new ways to remove water stains. Whip up gourmet wonders from leftovers. Save the fashion inventions. And we have smart ideas to make life happier.
What?
What?
Save the day fashion.
What?
Save the
day fashion inventions.
Yes. Yeah, what did I say?
Save the fashion inventions. Well, that's important, too.
It's like, even Women's World, that's a dumb headline.
All right. Okay, there's a poodle on a leather couch. You know you got trouble. Smart new ways to remove water stains. This is incredible, because we have been talking about this. Just the other day, we were talking about it. Spilled water on your leather couch or car seat? Ball up a fresh piece of bread and blot it at the water to remove it without leaving a stain behind.
Oh.
That is fabulous.
Yeah, I get to carry bread in the car.
That is incredible.
Start carrying bread in the car.
Right. How about reviving your wood furniture? I don't have any, but if I did... If somebody left a glass stain on my wood table, now I know I can squirt some non-gel toothpaste onto a dry cloth.
I can't say
this
that
is complicated.
Word.
Cloth.
I hate those blended consonants.
It's hard to say. And rub it over the water rings. Then you let it sit for a few hours. That's a long time. And then you got to get another clean, damp cloth. To shine up your fabulous finish. Now, I needed this the other day because I was trying everything to get the stains out of my shower door. You can shine up your shower door by rubbing the pulpy side of a lemon half over those stubborn spots. That's right. Just what is the pulpy side,
by
the way?
It's the cut side. As opposed, don't rub the rind, rub the lemon.
Okay. Thank you. I knew there was a good reason you're here. And Monica.
Yes, I'm listening.
I know you have trouble with spots on your stainless steel appliances.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Liz, for laughing.
You can make those water spots disappear by using rubbing alcohol. Mm. That's right. It removes the spot without drying or streaking.
You know, you need to do surgery
I hate
on
to
any
admit
of those
this.
Appliances.
You've I'm actually finding this helpful.
Oh, you know you love it. Okay, let's go to save the day fashion inventions. Thank you very much. All right. Now, I often look for ways to extend my necklaces. Because longer necklaces are the latest thing.
Yeah.
You've seen it. They're just going way down there. But, you know, just because you have a choker doesn't mean you have to stop wearing your jewelry. Instead, you can extend them with a nifty kit. You basically have to write to Necklace Necessities, necklacenecessities.com, and they have 3 and 6 inch extenders you can put on to your necklace somehow. And I don't know what you have to break.
So you extend, let me get this straight. So you're saying you extend your necklace with a necklace extender?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was understanding that one.
Yeah, no. And I can see at the ends, maybe you hook it on. And then
I can see.
People don't see the extender. But there might be a time when you turn your head where they do, which would look really bad.
Right. A choker is generally a choker.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't really look good. Okay. What?
Extendo.
Well,
Save the day.
I think we got the gist of it.
All right. All right. I like this idea. Massage your feet while you walk. There's a brand of tights now called Cushy Foot. I love this. And they have padded, textured soles that relax your feet with every step, reducing tension and fatigue. You can write to them at cushyfoot.com. And they're only $23.97. How did they come up with that price?
This
is so weird.
Why do you have to write to all these companies? Can't you just buy them?
Well, have a store?
Right. How about Belt Without the Bulk? All right? It's called the Invisibelt, okay?
You take your necklace extender.
It is. It's kind of
twice around your waist. And you that choker turns into a belt.
And then you take your cushy foots and you just wrap it around. It's like a clear, flat cincher that won't show under your close-fitting tops. So you can define your waist with a cinch or two loose pants with that bulk. I have no idea what that means. What do you just put the clear strap around?
Yeah, it's like
around
stereo
you?
Wire. fashion that into a really bad belt.
All right.
Pants up.
All right. We've heard about hiding your brap straw.
Brap straw.
Uh-huh. Yes, we have.
Are we almost done?
Okay. There's a thing called the strapper. I mean, they all have names. It's a butterfly design.
Yes. Do I have to write to strapper.com?
You actually do. It's called thestrapper.com.
Okay.
And it's a butterfly design, and it cinches the straps and back to make an X or a racer back. Okay, let's whip up some gourmet wonders from our leftovers.
Okay, let's.
I love this idea. I love this first one. Cake pudding. You're going to take your leftover cake. And you're going to cube it. I love cubing things. And then you're going to fold it into some warm pudding while you make a mix, adding a pinch of cinnamon made from a mix. So basically, leftover bread, pudding from a mix, a little cinnamon. Boom. You got a nice cake pudding. All right. All right. Brownie crumble parfait. Layer crumbled brownies with sliced bananas and strawberries and vanilla yogurt. To make a caramel sundae sauce. I missed a step. You're going to make the sauce. But Okay. All right.
Like, those ingredients don't make caramel.
All right. I like this. Pasta omelet. Okay. You're going to take some sauced spaghetti, leftover, of course.
Yeah, sauce it up.
All right.
Sauce it up.
With four beaten eggs. A quarter cup of grated Parmesan. You're going to cook up some oil in a nonstick skillet. You're going to flip it once.
It's disgusting.
You're just frying your pasta, basically.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah.
And finally, meatloaf chili.
Oh, now we're getting to a real leftover.
Okay.
There's no such thing as leftover brownies, by the way.
All right. Good point, Leanne. And a very intelligent comment on this segment, I must say.
Yeah. Raising the bar overall.
Can I bring it down from there?
Sure.
You're going to crumble yesterday's meatloaf and mix canned chili and diced tomatoes. Serve topped with your favorite topping.
Sour cream.
That's right. So, and finally, to set your confidence soaring, Monica, I'd like you wanted endorphins, you got it. Smile. Smile to release those feel-good engorphins.
I'm smiling right now. Listening to you.
Oh, we can hear that.
Or endorphins. And it makes you look more friendly, even though you're not. And it stimulates the production of the feel-good endorphins. That's what the Cozy Couch is all about. This has been Sheila. Just breathe, reach, and snack, people.
Woo!
Wow.
Okay.
That's a big
finish. Wow, Sheila, fantastic. Thank you so much. Hey, next week you are going to want to tune in. To Satellite Sisters, because we are going to have exciting news about the Intra-Sister Challenge. You know what we said. We are going to make Halloween costumes for you, but you have to vote, and we have some very special details. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want to listen to Satellite Sisters next week, because we are going to let you know how you can be the judge. in our next Intra-Sister Challenge.
We have never tried this before,
ever. Next week on Satellite Sisters. All right, girls, have a great day.
Thank you,
Leanne.
Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.